glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, November the 7th, 2024. I'm your friend, Donna Leland. Today, we're treated to the spoken word. That's a form of poetry. Our friend, Kina Aragon, is going to share her beautiful pieces with us. Kina just released a book from Moody Publishers called Love Has a Story, 100 Devotions on the Enduring Love of God. Welcome to Mark and Friends, Kina.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for spending time with our audience. I know they're going to love your poetry and your other thoughts that you're going to share about the love of God. Now, you've been through some trauma, so this actually was working through some of that trauma. Can you tell us what really was going on in your life that birthed this project?
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the editors from Moody Publishers came up with the idea of doing a series of books on the attributes of God, the characteristics of who God is, and to do like something like 100-day devotional type books, and each author kind of got to pick an attribute of God. And so I landed on the love of God, and I think particularly because that is the thing that I have had the hardest time grasping, not intellectually. I could tell you a million Bible verses, as I'm sure many of our listeners can, about how much God loves us. And obviously, the ultimate climax of the story is Christ dying and resurrecting for us in an act of great love. And yet, I have struggled so much to feel that God really likes me, to feel the love of God in my bones. And so I picked that attribute, if you will, you know, of God as love, that the scripture says God is love. And so I wanted to explore that a bit more kind of for myself. And I assumed and figured that I can't be the only one out here struggling to believe in my bones that God actually doesn't just put up with me, but delights in me. So I wanted to trace in the scripture's storyline, you know, where do we see mentions of the word love, but also acts and movements of God's love that maybe challenge what we think about God's love or disrupt our understanding of what love could be or is. And so in the midst of writing that, I was told, or I agreed to basically take 10 to 12 months to write this book. And, you know, I was on my way writing it, loving it. It was just an act of worship. I would go to the coffee shop and study and write and just loved the rhythm that I was creating. And in the middle of that, I was about 40% done with the book. My back just gave out in the middle of the night. I was sleeping. And to this day, they haven't really officially diagnosed it, but this was back in 2021. And in the middle of that, I also dealt with stage 4 endometriosis, which is really a disease where that's a bit gruesome, so I probably won't go into the details, but I went through in total 5 surgeries, lost 6 organs, dealt with secondary infertility. So we have a beautiful 8-year-old daughter, but you know, at that time, we had been trying for a couple of years for more children. I love children. I've written 3 children's books. I adore children. I love them so much. And so I figured, of course, like I'm going to be a mom of quite many children. And, you know, so we were dealing with the infertility, dealing with constantly living in the hospital, surgery after surgery. And then when my back gave out, it was almost like, no pun intended, but the straw that broke the camel's back. Yeah. You know, it was like, okay, God, like, do you hate me? Like, that's when I started to really feel, because it was like 8 out of 10 pain every day. I had to quit my part-time editing job and just go from specialist to specialist, try to figure out what was going on, treatment to treatment. Nothing was really working in a sustainable way. And I had to put this project down. And so in the middle of that, you know, having to relocate in light of the very large surgery I had in 2022, it was just so much going on. We lost friendships, we lost community, we lost so much. And I sort of laughed a little bit. I think maybe you think of Abraham and Sarah at different times in their story, laughing at this promise of God to bless them with a child. But there was some of a laughter that happened for me, like, okay, and now I'm going to go right on the love of God. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, as right, like as we moved from Tampa to Orlando, and found ourselves after a few months of really praying and searching, found ourselves in a wonderful Jesus community over here called New Creation Fellowship, you know, under their leadership and under their teaching and in community with them, the juices kind of started flowing again. And I started to fall in love again with the Word of God and felt, I guess you could say, inspired enough to pick up the pen again for this purpose, for this project. But I will say at the same time, as I was dealing with everything, all of the things and the financial strain that it put on us with the medical debt, I don't think I neglected the pen. I think that when I looked back at my journals in the process of trying to compile this book and put it together, I saw that in my darkest moments, there was something what in the moment I felt was the silence of God. But when I looked back on my journals, I saw, wait a minute, even in my wrestling, there was a sense of God's presence there. Even if I was enraged and angry at him, in some ways I was closest to him because I was going to him with it. And so it's been such a hard but beautiful process to see this book come together after what, like I said, it was supposed to be 10 months, took about 4 years. Wow. And so God's timeline is not always, usually not our timeline, right? So, yeah.
That's amazing. Oh, wow. I just love every part of your story. Don't you feel that God has to wrestle with us and pull from our little grippy hands and hearts the idea that his love is spoken to us through our circumstances. And so we get all these really hard circumstances and we're like, God, you don't love me, because for some reason, that's the only way we can think about his love. If our situation is going well, I'm pain free, things are happening. Okay. God loves me. But when the hardness of earth takes on, you know, this entity of, I'm going to express whether or not you love me, God, in my circumstances. Now, you write poetry, and you have communicated what you've gone through your poetry. Do you have anything to share with us?
Absolutely, yeah. I have this. So my book has 100 meditations, of course. It takes you through the storyline of Scripture, traces God's love throughout and before time, and really ask some reflection questions that get you to start thinking about themes and characters and scenes from your own life story, on the premise, the really simple premise, that love has a story and you're a part of it. And so Scripture is not just meant to, is not just about God. Of course, it is about God. He's the main character. And yet it is really about God and us, and it's about God with us. I think of Jesus's nickname, if you will, Emmanuel, right? God with us. And so that's what the book is about. And in the sort of marriage of biblical theology, of looking at the Scriptures, one big story, and story work, which is kind of looking at and engaging your own life story in light of the lens of Scripture's story, I mean, I wanted to offer that, but then also I was like, I have to show that for myself. Like, I have to show what that might look like, to look at my own wrestling with God, of getting on the wrestling mat, if you will, and wrestling with the God of all comfort, and the God who sometimes breaks our hip, as he did with Jacob, and yet names us, renames us. This poem I would love to share is called God, Why? God, I know your MO isn't really to reveal all your because to the why of our inquiring, languished minds. Why do the oppressed cry with none to hear? Why do those who bear your name abuse? Why this trauma too? Why trauma at all? Why do you hide behind silence? Silence. When some shrug and say, well, no one is good, no one deserves grace, is that really enough space to hold the mysteries of faith our deepest soul pangs? Or might there be a reason why the language of lament is littered with doubts and despair and rage? Might the cry, "Why?" be a valid prayer and not merely filth to confess, even if we know your answer would be something akin to teaching a newborn quantum physics? Silence. But what if it's worth it to cry to the sky and whimper, "Why?" Maybe there's grace in that question, a humanity we're meant to taste when our lips fix to say, "How can you be good with all this bad?" Silence. Why seal our lips with anger at you, which you already know, then seal our souls with shame at our anger, which you already know? Why pretend our satisfaction with debate-ready arguments? Why forsake the intimacy of honesty? Why not shout into the abyss? Silence. When the answer himself was plunged into the deepest darkness, suspended by dangling flesh, he cried into the silence, my God, why have you forsaken me?" and made, "God, why?" a holy cry.
That's beautiful. What I really took from that was the cry to the sky. That's a great bit that you can nail, cry to the sky. And that's how it feels sometimes, doesn't it? When you're crying out to the Lord, his nearness, his presence isn't so in our awareness, and yet we continue to cry. Now, you share in your book how the silence of God has become a psalm in your life. Can you explain that?
Yeah, and it's my best way to try to communicate that. I feel like it's inadequate to explain, but I feel like a big part of the Christian journey is mystery and darkness. And we want our microwave-ready answers. We want our formulas of how to live our best life here and how to do this, 5 ways to do that. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with practical advice, but I think a lot of really walking closely with Jesus means experiencing some really hard seasons of just utter mystery and darkness. I have been praying for this baby. I have been praying for the salvation of this person. I have been, you know, trying to be faithful, and yet it seems like God is just turning away. Maybe he's too busy, or he's just doesn't care. Think of the disciples in the boat with Jesus sleeping in the middle of the storm, going, "Lord, wake up, we're perishing, don't you care?" And so much of that experience of God's silence is actually formative. It's very important for us. It's transformational if we allow ourselves to continue to take our complaint, or as the psalmist says, "Pour out my complaint to you." And so, I mean, the silence of God it's felt like, "Lord, where were you?" It's given me space to go, "God, where were you when I was a kid and this happened to me? Where were you when the sexual abuse happened? Where were you when I felt neglected, when I was abandoned? Where were you and where are you right now?" And in giving space for that lament, the language of lament, which the Bible and the Psalms and Lamentations, of course, is filled with, the book of Job, for example, Jesus himself on the cross crying a cry of lament. And so when there's space for lament in the midst of the darkness and mystery and apparent silence of God, there becomes fertile soil for beautiful things to grow. We don't see it in the moment. We definitely don't see it in the moment. But that is what hope is, which I think is the hardest thing to do when things are dark and mysterious, or we live, as it were, in, you know, Psalm 23, in the valley of deep darkness, or the valley of the shadow of death. There it is, you know, his rod and his staff strengthen us or comfort us, because we don't see him, and sometimes we don't hear him, but in that silence there is almost like a space and permission from the Lord that we can learn how to give give real soul, honest, soul naked cries to the God who is faithful, who is there, but wants us, I think of C.S. Lewis's book, Till We Have Faces, who wants us to have faces. If you've read that fiction piece, is he wants us to be able to get rid of our maybe sanctimonious, perfect little, cute little prayers and start getting real with God. So I think the silence of God has become a psalm in that way for me, in that it's allowed me to give language to my deepest soul pangs in a way that I hadn't before.
Now, you had to jump into this like right from the start. You were a new Christian at the age of 16. So your relationship with the Lord was really born out of some tragedy and trauma. Can you take us back to that time?
Yeah, you know, and it's such a mixture. I'm learning as an adult, I'm 35 now, I think, I'm learning as an adult to look back at that season with the lament that it deserves and the grief that it deserves, and yet also the gratefulness, the gratitude and the joy and the thankfulness of Lord, if you had not been my Lord and Savior at that time, I really don't believe that I would still be here.
Yeah.
I don't believe I would have endured. And so it's an interesting tension to hold. But yeah, I mean, I think about where Jesus says, you know, to follow me, you must carry a cross. And he handed me mine, like, it felt like right from the beginning. And so I wasn't confused, maybe intellectually, I wasn't confused about the fact that to follow Jesus meant to, you know, have to surrender everything and to carry a cross. I knew that. But at the same time, I there's no way you can really anticipate the types of traumas and difficulties and trials that will be uniquely shaped for you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, for me, it was this juxtaposition of falling in love with Jesus, hearing the gospel from a friend on a volleyball team, you know, really for the first time that I was ready to receive it. The Spirit had worked in me. I was desperate. I just wanted to know him, just devouring God's word. I didn't know half of what I was doing, but I just kept devouring God's word, kept trying to pray, journaling, things would come out as poetry, all this stuff was happening. And then at the same time, you know, I was experiencing so much brokenness in my home, my parents divorced, the death of a mentor, the death of a friend in a boating accident, you know, dealing with sexual abuse that I didn't know was happening. I didn't know to call it that at the time. And so this, the confusion around that and the shame around that. And so all of these things sort of happening at the same time that my relationship with Jesus was growing. And, you know, I think I used to tell my testimony as though it were like, okay, before Jesus equals bad, then I met Jesus, and now everything's good because I have him. You know, it's not perfect, but, you know, it's good. And I think it's a lot more complex than that. There is a sense in which it is simple. I went from death to life,
yeah.
You know, as the scripture says, like that. In that sense, it is very simple.
You're a spoken word artist, a poet, a writer. Can you share with us another one of your pieces?
Okay, so this piece is called Welcome to the Faith. Welcome to the faith. At 16, and back then, I'd have run through a rod for my God. Brand new believer. Welcome, Kina. You'll never be the same. And I wasn't. But then again, back then, I saw no face to mirror my emotional conflictedness at my parents' split, just months after I prayed my first true amen, back when I didn't know I should maybe mention home was swallowing me whole, and the only touch that seemed safe touched me in ways that shoveled me under my shame, bearing your name but sneaking hands where they shouldn't be. Welcome to the faith. Welcome to secrecy. Back then, you were new to me, yet you were my everything. I knew to follow meant carrying cross, yet staring at addiction's grimace, the way it makes the finest face shrivel and sink, deflating the ability to dream. At 17, I admit, I didn't expect it. Back when I'd cringe in class as kids laughed and rapped about crack cocaine like it didn't just disintegrate everything around me, like it wasn't the enemy. No, back then, I thought maybe this was it. Maybe this was your plan for me, my purpose, to never get out, so I quit. To my forever chagrin, it seems, volleyball dreams, my student-athlete trajectory, back when my high school coach, who'd known a bit about my home, for some reason made it his mission to torment me all season, antagonizing my newfound faith, then pulled me aside to tell me a lie I'd spend the rest of my life trying not to believe, but I believed it then. He drew a chart on a paper, pointed to its peak, and said, "This is you now. Almost 18. This is the best you'll ever be. It's only downhill from here." Back when I'd already seen my friend die, my mentor die, my life tear at the seams. Back when I didn't know this was all called trauma, that my brain would black out memories my body would keep, my nightmares would later remind me of. Back when I began this great migration away from hoping in my own fleeting sense of success, to hoping in the resurrection. Yes, back then, my childhood experienced its own sort of death. Welcomed to the faith, with pain I still feel today. But back then, I remember, I refuse to forget. Yes, I refuse to forget. I'd lay my head on the pillow and pray to this Jesus I'd found myself in love with, this Jesus who I knew had changed me, was changing me within. And back then, you gave me a vision. In the screaming silence of my loneliness, there you were, holding me. With scarred hands, you'd rock me in the night till finally I'd fall asleep. Welcomed to the faith, I've never been the same.
We're enjoying the ministry of Kina Aragon on Mark and Friends. Thank you so much, Kina. And I'm going to definitely have you back and have you share more of your spoken word.
Thank you so much again for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media. Coming up tomorrow, Pastor Jason has collected a lovely band of followers on Wednesdays, and he has his Bible study, and then they record it. And we get to be the beneficiaries of it on Friday. That's Mark and Friends tomorrow here on Great News Media. Don't forget, if you've missed any of the Mark and Friends, you've never missed it. It's always sitting waiting for you on our website. Just click on the Mark and Friends tab, and it opens up to all the past Mark and Friends that we could fit on that page. That's in an MP3 format, easy to download, easy to listen to. That's all through Great News Media, Mark and Friends.